comes from Murray Wise Associates, LLC, providing nationwide land auctions, farmland sales and management, and financial advice for agribusiness. Information on upcoming land auctions and offerings can be found at murraywiseassociates.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 11th day of June, 2014. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. A bit later in this program, we'll take up this morning's USDA WASDE and crop production figures with ag economist Daryl Good. We'll also discuss the futures market and the trade and the impact in Chicago with Jackie Vank. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. We'll take a look, of course, at the cash grain market. The folks at the Andersons will be along out of their Climbers and Logansport, Indiana facilities. And then, as we close out our program, we'll discuss the weather forecast, which has been driving the market for the last month or so, with Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. And it all happens right here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online at willag.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's take a look now at the numbers as they finished up in Chicago on this June the 11th, USDA report day for 2014, WASDE. And the crop production figures were out earlier this morning. We'll take those numbers up in just a bit. There was a reaction in Chicago. July wheat, despite the numbers, were down 12 cents today at $5.89 and a quarter. September at 6.01 and a half, and the soft red down 11 and a half. The hard red July at 7.04 and a quarter, down 21 and three quarters. Corn futures down 4.5 cents, and the lead option July at $4.41 on a settlement price. September at $4.37 and a half, down 3 3/4, and December corn at $4.41 and 3/4, 3 1/4 lower. March at $4.52 and 3/4, down 2 3/4, and July corn at $4.66 and a quarter, 2.5 cents lower. July soybeans at $14.45 and a half, down 17 today. August 13.82 and 3/4, down 12 1/2, and September 12.61 and 3/4, 8 1/2 cents lower. November beans $12.20 and 3/4, down 8 3/4. January 12.27 and a quarter, down 8 3/4, and the next year's July at 12.40 and a half, down 8 cents in the bean pit. July bean meal at $4.82.30, down 2.20. Bean oil at $38.42. down 52. Live cattle futures finished the nearby contract. That would be the June at $143.02 and a half cents, down 47 and a half. August live cattle at $142.20, down $1.20. Feeders were up, or rather down, 230 at $202.87 and a half for the day. And the lean hogs in the June contract at $115.97 and a half was 67 and a half cents higher. July there at $125 and 2 and a half. That's down 12 and a half cents on the afternoon. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, July contract, $104.41 a barrel, up 6 cents. RBOB, or wholesale price of gasoline, at $3.1 cent. That's up 2 7/10. Ethanol at $2.10, down 4 1/2 cents. And the spread between the two is now 90 1/10 cent wide. The whiter it gets, the better it is to use ethanol, up 7 2/10 cent, whiter, that is, than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $4.51 and 7 cents, down 1 1/2 cents for the day, and diesel fuel at $2.90 and 3 cents, 1 1/9 cents higher. Gold futures at $1,260.90, finished $1.10 higher, and the U.S. dollar trading down 0.03 at 80.3. 7 for the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like as it comes from the National Weather Service. For the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon, scattered showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high of 76 degrees on a west wind at about 9 mile an hour. The chance of rainfall set at 40%. Scattered showers and thunderstorms this evening before 7. Patchy fog thereafter through 1 a.m. Otherwise, mostly cloudy, gradually becoming mostly clear, a low of 59 degrees tonight. Thursday, a 30% chance of showers during the day. A few thunderstorms, all before 1 in the afternoon. Mostly sunny otherwise, and a high of 82. Thursday night, partly cloudy and 57. Friday, sunny and 77. Friday night, mostly clear and 53. Again, sunny skies on Saturday and 81 degrees. And Saturday night, mostly clear and 63. We'll take a more complete look at the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Drew Lerner. You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Wednesday afternoon. On the phone line with us for this 11th day of June 2014 is Jackie Vicks. She's at Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Good afternoon, Todd.
And this morning, the United States Department of Agriculture released updated WASDE, or World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates. These are the supply and demand figures for corn and soybeans, and a crop production number that came from USDA NASS for wheat. Let's start with the one that changed, because really, not a lot of changes happened in the corn or soybeans. Just one little tiny thing, but we'll take that up in a bit. So let's start with the wheat pit and what happened and what those numbers look like for crop production.
Well, you know, when you looked at the bigger picture on the wheat side, we of course lost about 21 million bushels in estimated production. You would have thought that that would have drawn us down, but it did not. They actually lowered the feed usage, they lowered the crush, and we ended up adding 34 million bushels to the carryout on the U.S. level. And then when you look at the world level, you know, in the month of May there were some very beneficial rains all across the world, and so we saw some significant changes in estimates for Russia and places like that. And you know, that ended up pushing our world wheat numbers even higher to a 27% level. We've seen them higher than that, but it really wasn't expected. And then when you looked at the rest of the world numbers, corn being higher, beans being higher, it kind of overshadowed anything else that happened here at the U.S. level.
One little item on the beans. USDA has lowered the carryout for soybeans for this year by 5 million bushels. It's now at 125 million compared to the May at 130. I suppose the trade was kind of in that range anyway.
They were in 127 is what they were. So it was actually lower than what they expected. On the opposite side, when you look at the 325 on next year's, that was higher than what the average guess was. And you know, when you looked at the average guess was 319, that would have given us about a 12% stocks-to-use ratio, basically, in general. And one of the highest stocks-to-use ratios we've seen since 2006, you know. So it makes for a pretty tough sell. But they didn't make many changes at all. And they kept the price the same at $10.75 for new crop and $13.10 for old crop. So, you know, the bean, I think we'll see some divergence between old crop and new crop, even more than what we've got at this stage of the game.
Okay, well, we'll have Daryl Good along in a moment. We'll take more up about some of these numbers from the CME Group in Chicago. But let's get to the trade for the day, because it turned kind of ugly through the day. There were lots of things that were happening other than the USDA reports. In fact, things on the Chinese front for DDGs and sorghum and, I don't know, pick your topic and start in with
it. Start anywhere, right? Well, I would describe the market today. It reminds me of me when I used to go to a lake to go swimming. You stick your toes in, you know, and you kind of pull back. You stick your toes in again. Well, that's the way the market looks for the majority of the day. Should we go lower? Oh, no, we'll go a little lower. We'll pull back. No, then we'll go a little bit lower. Then we'll pull back. And finally, they decided to jump in. And then we really took a dive for a while there. And corn came back fairly nice at the end of the day. Beans came back, you know, and even wheat came back from where it was in the Chicago market. So I think in general, you know, I'm not sure that much of that was really related to the report. I think more of it is just related to the attitude now about what's going to happen going down the road. But we've been dogged in the corn market by the idea that China's probably going to not issue any more DDG permits. And, you know, nobody knows for sure if that's the truth. But if it is, it's not a good situation. One of the things that would give me some, well, I guess I would probably buy into it a little more, is that when you look at their sorghum imports from us, last year they imported a whopping 3,376 tons. So far for this crop year, they've taken 2.5 million metric tons. That's a huge change, and so I would think that that's perhaps becoming an alternate feed for them. When you look at their imports on all commodities, we're really down hard in May, but still up, you know, year over year. So there's still support there from that standpoint. But, you know, China is a strange bunch of dudes. You know, when you look at beans yesterday, they came in and they priced all their open and unshipped beans yesterday, and that really gave the market a big tick up. So you just don't know what to expect from them. And then you look at Russia. You know, they're fighting with Ukraine like crazy. They're demanding that Ukraine do prepayments for all their gas or they're going to cut their supplies off. And, you know, this is coming at a time when Ukraine's peso is just I mean, their currency is in very bad shape, and we know now that they're going to have less corn production and possibly less production all the way across, but not as significant as what the trade was basically putting in at the beginning. So there's just so many things going on. Argentina, I tell you, Todd, if you look at Argentina, that place is a mess. They still are arguing with the Paris Club about their debt. You know, Paris Club is that group of governments that lends money. They're demanding that Argentina repay them the $10 billion. U.S., Germany, and Japan actually hold $6.5 billion as of 2012 out of that $10 billion. And it's coming at the cost of investments. Billions of investments have left since Cristina became president in 2007 because of her crazy government spending. And, you know, they currently can't get any credit, insurance, no loan guarantees, financing from export agencies at all. And so they've got to get this thing taken care of and so that they can get back in the market. And, you know, their peso has lost 50% since 2012. That's serious. But we do have a presidential election coming up next year. So, you know, will Cristina get back in? Well, it depends upon how crooked they really are. But the overall thing is the implications for corn and bean sales. You know, they're expecting Argentina to have a larger corn crop next year, and yet we know for a fact, you know, they just haven't been bringing much grain out onto the marketplace. And so for us, it has a direct impact on competition. And so there's just so many other things going on.
Yeah, so one of the other things, come back here to home, because things are changing, I think, a little bit. Maybe talk about crop conditions in the northwestern part of the Corn Belt. This is a part of the Corn Belt where they really still need to be able to put a crop in the ground.
Well, that's true, and you know, it's really tough when you get to this time of year because, you know, we were 97% planted last week. That they didn't have a planting progress report this week, so no one really knows technically how much was planted. In talking to guys, though, in South Dakota, North Dakota, Minnesota in the last number of days, they did make some really good progress. In fact, some of the guys are telling me that some of the corn is looking pretty darn good. But I talked to one of the guys up in Minnesota. I asked him how come the crop ratings on corn fell in Minnesota, and he said the frost is finally heaving their gravel roads. So the frost is finally coming out. So he said at the immature corn level, it's extremely cold, and that's why the corn looks pretty yellow. But he expects that's going to straighten itself out. So, you know, it's going to be a guess until we get into the end of the month as to, you know, just how much we've lost. But one of the things that I think we have to keep in mind, you know, the corn condition ratings in Iowa are 30% better than they were last year at this time. That's pretty significant, even though condition ratings are very subjective. You know, here in this part of the world, we're like 16% better. So, you know, I do have an Eastern Corn Belt guy that I talked to today. And, you know, he said this cold, dreary weather is due to the Great Lakes freezing over and that they expected it, which I guess I hadn't really given that any kind of a thought at all. But their crop is growing. They just have such dreary weather. And I think ultimately, you know, if we don't get sunshine, it won't hurt corn nearly as much as it's going to hurt beans. And so, you know, that'll be the next thing that we're talking about unless we can get out of this pattern of cloudiness all of the time. But ethanol is really kind of dogging the whole complex, too, on corn from a pressure standpoint because we now need 103.8 million bushels a week to reach that 5.05 billion that the USDA is still hanging on to. So, you know, there's a lot of things that could change as we go down the road here.
Hey, I got to let you go, but thanks for being with us today. We'll talk with you again on Wednesday next week.
Thank you, Todd. Have a good one.
You too. That is Jackie Beck. She's at Stuart Peterson right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for agricultural programs comes from AgriGold and their newest AgriGold Giant 107-day A6408, available for 2014 in Roundup Ready and also VT Triple Pro Rib. More information on A6408, including yield and dry down data, is at AgriGold.com.
I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. We're joined by U of I Ag economist Darrell Good to take up the World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate released on the 11th day of June 2014. Darrell, not a lot of changes USDA made, if any at all, in either the soybeans or the corn today.
No, that's correct, Todd, and I think that's probably not unusual for the June report. In the case of both corn and soybeans on the old crop balance sheet, what we're looking at recently in terms of the rate of consumption doesn't differ much from what the USDA had projected, so they stayed with those numbers, except for a modest 5 million bushel increase in the crush for soybeans. Really didn't change the old crop balance sheet at all on corn or soybeans, and as would be expected with really no new information about the new crop, those numbers were unchanged as well. We'll wait till the end of the month when we get the quarterly stocks report and the acreage report. That will provide the fuel for really tweaking the new crop balance sheet for both corn and soybeans.
Wheat was a different story?
Wheat was slightly different. We did see a number of changes there on the domestic balance sheet for the crop year that's just ending or just has ended. USDA made a minor adjustment in the consumption numbers, resulting in a 10 million bushel increase in the expected level of June 1 stocks. Also on the new crop, did see a slightly lower production estimate, primarily for hard red winter wheat, slightly lower yield expectations in Kansas, Texas, Oklahoma. I think the bigger changes perhaps were on the world scene. We did see much bigger production numbers, well, at least modestly larger production numbers for Europe, China, India, and Russia. And particularly the Russian number, I think, is of interest because there has been some chatter about less than ideal growing conditions in Russia. Yet we did see a bigger production number for wheat and also for corn out of the Ukraine. So I think taken together, those numbers are probably a little bit bearish for corn and wheat prices. If those numbers actually materialize, which they look like they will now, fairly large crops coming on outside the U.S.
Fundamentally, is there support under the marketplace at current pricing?
You know, I think on old crop there is a bit because we're going to see, I think, slightly higher consumption of corn than the balance sheet currently reflects. And that's going to come a little bit on, I think, ethanol use of corn. Those numbers continue to go up on a weekly basis. Very robust export demand for ethanol. The wild card really on old crop balance sheet for corn is the June 1 stocks, when it will reveal the rate of feed and residual use during the past quarter. That's provided surprises for the market in recent history, both bullish and bearish. So I think the numbers that we know are pretty friendly for consumption of corn, but the biggest number that we don't know is feed and residual, and that's the swing factor in old crop corn. For new crop, I think expectations are building that we do have a very large corn and soybean crops coming on for this year. Crop condition ratings are record or near record good for this time of year. Moisture conditions are generally adequate. One summary I looked at, a service that I follow, suggested that only about 5% of the corn and soybean area in the U.S. is either too wet or too dry at the subsoil moisture level. The minor concern that is being expressed, I think, on new crop is we do have pockets that are perhaps getting too wet. We've had some areas of very heavy rainfall, and I think the pattern over the next 10 days, 2 weeks, is for multiple thunderstorm activity that could bring excess rain to a number of areas. It historically, you would have to say that it's really difficult to get too wet in June, but there will be pockets that are going to lose some acreage because of too much rain.
One of the items that caught my attention in the WASD commentary under the coarse grains, Darrell, was that USDA, and I'll quote this, says the projected U.S. corn production for 14-15 is unchanged at a record 13.935 million bushels. The projected U.S. corn yield remains at 165.3 bushels to the acre, as a slightly slower than normal mid-May planting progress is expected to be offset by very favorable early season crop and weather conditions. What do you make of the commentary?
Yeah, I think what the folks at the WASD rely on a little more than they did in the past is a crop weather model for forecasting corn yields, and that model incorporates the timeliness of corn planting. They use kind of a mid-May cutoff date, as corn planted after mid-May is considered late and would under normal conditions would suffer a slight yield penalty. So they're saying we had a slightly higher percentage of the crop planted after mid-May, which could be a slight negative impact on yield. But that's being offset by what they deem as very favorable moisture conditions. And so the net effect in their mind would keep a yield potential still at the trend value that they calculate, 165.3.
In your weekly outlook, you suggested, I believe, that there is no real reason to believe that corn acreage would change much by the time we get to June.
I think that's right. You know, we did see some really the late planting that did occur was in the northern growing areas, particularly North Dakota, Wisconsin, Michigan, Minnesota, to some extent Ohio. So the question is, did we lose a few acres of corn there, either to soybeans or to prevent plant? You wouldn't expect that to be large, recognizing that when we got the March intentions report, there was some speculation that there was an undercount of total crop acres in that report. So I think the expectation going into the June 30th report will be kind of a wash, and expecting corn plantings to be very near the March intentions.
Does this report, and maybe you'll want to wait until the end of the month to see the end of the month reports, change very much of your thinking about how far along producers should be in their corn marketing? You're in that 15 to 25% range, or had been for quite some time.
You know, we kind of said our thinking as getting 15 to 25% of the crop priced when we pushed new crop bids up towards the $5 level. And then took the position that as prices declined back towards the insurance guarantee that was established in the spring, that there was less incentive to be pricing corn. Obviously, if prices continue to go down, we will all wish that we had priced more, but some of those potential losses will be offset by the floor that's established by crop insurance. So at this juncture, we'd probably be thinking just holding at that 20% level and see if there's a potential summer bounce here of some sort. Otherwise, we'll rely on crop insurance to set the safety net.
I think that's it.
Okay.
I really do. There's not much else to say.
No, there's really not. No.
Okay. So. All right. Hey, thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Todd.
Daryl Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Support for agricultural information on WILL comes from Busey. With over 145 years of agribusiness experience, Busey's team is committed to providing resources to today's producers. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Of course, you're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You can always find our programming online at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find everything from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between all day long. Sue Martin is there, usually about 12:45 on our midday. And then on the weekends, of course, Commodity Week, we record at, we air live now at 2:36, and you can pick it up on our home radio station or at WILLAG.org at about that time, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, too. Our live stream is up at the top of the page at willag.org. Otherwise, just hit one of the links, and you can always find our agricultural programming. Thanks for listening. We'll have the markets and the weather in just a moment. We'll take a look at the cash grain market.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, dedicated to improving the quality of life for Illinois farmers by offering financial products and services geared specifically to the farm community and developing partnership-based relationships with its agricultural customers.
You, of course, are listening to the Closing Market Report. Let's take a look at the cash grain market now. On the phone line is Tara Dinas, and she is with the Andersons at their facility in Logansport, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Tara. How are you?
Good afternoon. I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm very, very well. What did producers have to say, if anything at all, about what was supposed to be kind of a non-event in the June report? And it was until it started to trade, I suppose, in Chicago.
Yeah, certainly, not a lot of excitement over the report today. Obviously, everyone was expecting it to be pretty neutral and, you know, even kind of wishful thinking, I guess, for maybe a little bit of a bounce today, and we certainly didn't get that, and things continued to push lower. So very little action here, not a lot of interest in talking about selling anything at this point.
How's basis reacting, old and new crop?
Basis is certainly improving on the old crop. I think at this point, with the very limited old crop selling, and you know, most of what is still in the bins is certainly unpriced, and most folks are cash price driven at this point, we're still seeing basis values hold steady and continuing to stay firm for old crop. New crop basis values haven't really changed much at this point, although we are starting to get a little more aggressive on wheat basis in the area as things are kind of gearing up towards wheat harvest here soon.
When will you have to begin hunting corn again for your ethanol plant?
At this point, there's no real need to hunt anything down just yet. Certainly, you know, seeing a little bit move here and there just for logistical purposes because there is a lot in the countryside that still has to move. But, you know, probably feel comfortable for the next 30 days at least.
And finally, what are your bids for the day?
Cash corn at Delphi tonight was 4.33. Cash corn at Climbers was 4.37. And cash beans at Delphi were 14.81.
Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you. Have a good night.
And you too. Tara Dynas is with the Andersons. She is at their facility in Logansport, Indiana. This is the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City now joins us to take up the weather forecast for the Midwest, the nation, and the planet. Drew, over the last 24 hours, there was a nice soaking rainfall across a good portion, I think, of the Midwest. What did it look like from your vantage point?
Well, it looks like it was a relatively efficient little rain event. We saw precipitation occur over a relatively large portion of the region, as you stated. Some of the best rains were in the northern and easternmost portions of Illinois, as well as western portions of Indiana. And we also saw some moderate amounts of rain across the southeast corner of Wisconsin, another little area just near and north of the St. Louis area. And everybody else saw mostly light amounts of moisture, but then some of those heavier amounts were in the 1 to 2 inch range, a couple of locations getting even more than 2 inches, but those were not common. The temperatures, of course, have been a little bit milder than usual across portions of the Midwest, especially in the west here, over the past couple of days. We're going to see that continuing into Friday. And then after that, I think we'll start seeing some warmer conditions occurring across the region, and that'll help to stimulate some better crop development rates and start putting some of this moisture to use. There's a few areas out there in the western portion of the Midwest that are a little bit too wet, actually, believe it or not. And a little bit of sunshine and some warmer temperatures would fix that in a jiffy and help to get everything back in line with ideal conditions, which I think we will see as we go through the coming week.
So we'll see some sunshine, warmer temperatures by the time we get to the weekend. Do things change again next week?
Well, that's up for a little bit of debate at this point, but I think they'll stay mostly the same. What I think will take place next week is we'll end up with still some warm weather and periodic shower and thunderstorm activity occurring early in the week, but late in the week we may bring some more cool air down in from Canada. This would be towards the latter part of next week and into that second weekend of the two-week outlook. The other thing that has to be debated about here is that some of the computer forecast models are suggesting maybe a little tropical system may form in the Caribbean Sea this coming weekend and may begin to work its way into the southern Gulf of Mexico about midweek next week. That could obviously have a big impact on U.S. weather depending on what happens to that system. Unfortunately, I don't have much confidence in the event other than the fact that there will be a disturbance in the Caribbean Sea, and we'll just have to kind of take it day by day. But for right now, I think the bottom line is it's going to be continued status quo, mostly good conditions across the Midwest.
As we close out our time together, can you check in, please, on the corn crop in Ukraine and China?
Ukraine weather has been just about ideal. They had some dryness early in the season, but they've had a lot of timely rain since then. The temperatures have been mostly warmer than average over the past 2 or 3 weeks. They are cooling down a little bit now, but it's a very good environment, I think, for their corn crop there. In China, we have some dryness that's still prevailing across a portion of the North China Plain. That's the northern part of their production region. It is only a small region, and I think they do irrigate some of that crop there, so the impact is probably not tremendous. But over this next week, there's going to be some very warm to hot temperatures and some more dry weather in east-central parts of the country, raising the need for timely rain in late June and early July.
Thanks, Drew.
Have a good day.
You too. Drew Lerner is with World Weather Incorporated in Kansas City. Joins us here on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report. You can find him online on our website each and every day in the Opening Market Report. That's at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G. www.closingmarketreport.org. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.